Yeah, so there's a chapter that I call The Big Six. And the reason why, I mean, it was almost a cartoonish exercise writing that book, because the evidence for ivermectin, literally there's 97 controlled trials where you have ivermectin treated group and a comparison group, 97 trials. Almost all of them are wickedly positive, yet the world doesn't know about any of them. The world really only knows about what I call the Big Six. And the Big Six out of those 97 were unique. They were the largest. They were heavily funded. They were the only ones that were conducted by investigators that were drowning in pharmaceutical company conflicts. And they were all published in the highest impact medical journals of the world. Like, that to me shows you how deep the control of pharma, they run those journals. What appears in those journals is what they allow to appear in those journals. But into your question, the Big Six, I mean, you know, if you go to the disinformation playbook, right, which I cited, if you look, that was written first time, I think, in 2017. And the number one tactic is something called the fix. And one of the definitions of the fix is they conduct studies with predetermined results. And the Big Six were all conducted with one goal. There's only one goal of those trials, which is to show ivermectin doesn't work. The amount of manipulations and design shenanigans they had to pull in order to reach that result were insane. So number one, you mentioned it, right? We all know who's at highest risk of COVID. It's those who have the highest weight, right? And they purposely they invented caps to dosing. So like someone like you, you would have been underdosed severely, which would have put you at greatest risk. John probably would have been dosed correctly, or depends, because they used lower doses as they could in each trial. But that was only one. The other is quite a few of the trials were done in South America where ivermectin is over the counter, used widely, and they took care to not really screen for who was on ivermectin. And so some of those trials, it's very hard to prove that ivermectin is better than ivermectin, right? And we have evidence that the control group side effects were almost identical to the treatment groups. And it's like, gee, what was the control group on? You know, it's like they all had blurry vision, which is minor and it happens, but they had the same rates of that, of diarrhea. And it's like, gee, that's weird. Why do they look identical there with side effects? And that's only two of the things, but they used the lowest doses as possible. They capped doses. They included patients as late as possible. So if you look at Paxlovid, right, you could not enter a Paxlovid trial if you had more than 3 days of symptoms. They treated everyone within 3 days. The ivermectin trials, 7 days, 14 days. Oxford University literally did an outpatient trial where you could enter as late as 14 days from first symptoms. And so, you know, so I really call out the Big Six because I think it's a really instructive chapter. It shows you just how they do what they do. They can get you to believe that a drug works. They can get you to believe the drug doesn't work. And it's really done with the complicity of the top medical journals in the world. Because, you know, the other point of that chapter is when I point out what they did in those trials, like then they did even more absurd things. Because here's the funny part about the Big Six. Despite all of those design manipulations, they still had trouble burying the evidence of efficacy. All of those trials showed benefits. It came just under statistical significance. But the most brazen example, which I think will go down in history, it's so easily provable because it's right in the paper, was the NIH trial that you mentioned. So what the NIH did is the design of their trial, they said before the trial started that we're going to compare symptom severity at day 14. Great. In the middle of the trial, before it's published, they update their protocol and they say, nah, we're going to compare symptom severity at day 28. So for an acute viral syndrome, now they decide they want to compare differences at day 28. Okay. They say it's because they don't have statistical power, which is a nonsense statement. They don't provide any data to show why that is. And then you see the results. So when the study gets published, you see that at day 14, there's a profoundly statistically significant benefit for ivermectin. But the statistical significance disappears at day 28. It's published in one of the top journals in the world, in JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association. And the conclusion, the abstract is, you know, there is no role for treatment with ivermectin. I mean, I've never seen a more brazen scientific fraud than that. And the way it was, and JAMA let them do it. So if I had done that trial, right, on a non-politically or financially threatening, compound or substance, if I had conducted a trial like that, where I literally moved the goalposts in the middle of the trial and then tried to publish it, I would never pass peer review. I could not publish a trial. You can't. That's like a violation of like the basics of study conduct and research ethics. And yet it's sailed to publication in like one of the top journals in the world. I don't know what else to say. It's so brazen.